koutou katoa and welcome to Well With Anahila, the Labour listed MP based in Papakura. Well, today it's a lovely day here in Tamaki Makaurau, and it's my pleasure to have Hepoarangi, which is the Climate Change Commission New Zealand, have the chairperson, Dr. Rod Carr, to have a conversation about what actually is the Climate Change Commission New Zealand, and so that we'll have a conversation about that, and I'll just take it from there. So welcome, Dr. Rod. How are you?
I'm very good, Anahila, and it's great to have this opportunity.
Are you okay with me calling you Rod?
Absolutely. That's what my family call me. It's how I'm known.
Oh, thank you. Well, welcome to World with Anahila, Rod. And we thought that it would be a good opportunity to have a conversation with you about what the Climate Change Commission does and how you hope to have a conversation with New Zealand so far. So usually we start by you introducing yourself, then we talk about what you want to share with us in the community, and then right at the end we'll ask you what you do for well-being, because it is Well with Anahila. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I was born in Auckland back in 1958, when Auckland was a slightly smaller city. I went away to boarding school in Hamilton when I was a teenager, and then went to Otago University, where I studied things like law and business, and then I went and worked for the Bank of New Zealand when it was still 100% owned by the New Zealand government in the 1980s. And I picked up a few university degrees and did a few things for the government while I worked in the private sector for a time. And then I became Vice-Chancellor at the University of Canterbury for 10 years after the earthquakes, and then retired and was invited to help chair the Climate Change Commission for New Zealand. So that's got four kids, and very proud of them, and they've done amazing things. And I'm proud to be a Kiwi and delighted to see how New Zealand has been evolving over the last 40 years.
Yes, yeah, I'm delighted too. I arrived here about 40 years ago. So, yeah. What's your favourite food?
it's with the family. Food with the family is great food.
Great. Okay, so can you talk to us about the work of the Climate Change Commission?
The commission was set up by Parliament, by the government, without anybody objecting. They all agreed that we needed this independent commission, and it's to provide advice. That's all it does. It just advises the government on how we're going to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions. Those are those nasty things that make the planet warmer. Mm. How are we going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions to achieve the already agreed targets which have been set by Parliament, mm-hmm. and to meet the obligations that we have to the rest of the world under a treaty that was signed in Paris, mm-hmm. In about 2015. So the Commission's job is to provide advice on how much we can afford to emit and what we need to do as a plan to emit less of these nasty gases.
Okay. So how would we as New Zealanders help us achieve that?
Well, I think the first thing to do is what you're doing, Anahila, which is to help New Zealanders understand why would we bother and what happens if we don't and who's got to make the effort. And in the case of New Zealand, about half our greenhouse gases come from all the things that you and I do every day, the things we buy, the way we live, how we get around, all of those things. And about half comes from the way we farm our land, the pastoral animals and the way they digest grass to make meat and milk. So let's leave the farmers alone for a bit and let's just talk about the rest of us. About a half, not quite a half, of all of the gases that aren't from agriculture basically come from transport. That's how we move around and how we move stuff around. So that's quite important to figure out how we get the greenhouse gases, largely from burning petrol and diesel, out of our transport. And how do we get industry not to burn gases like fossil fuel gases and coal when they need to make heat? So that's the target. When it comes to everyday Kiwis, what we can do that makes a difference is to think every time we buy something, is this a decision which is contributing to more of these noxious gases getting out there? Or Is it something that we could do with less of or do a different way?
Mm.
Secondly, what do we say to other people about it? And that's important because we're all role models for friends and family.
Mm.
And if we say, hey, this matters and I can do a little bit and every little bit counts, then that's a good message. Mm. You don't have to know the science to know that we need to do something.
Mm.
And then it comes back to who we support. You know, at the end of the day, the country is led and businesses are led, and households and communities are led by people.
Mm.
And you want to encourage the people to take responsibility where they can to do what they can.
And
always it's good when somebody says, hey, you're doing a good job, thank you for doing that, I support you. And we all need to support each other to do what we can when we can.
That's great. Yeah, I just as you're talking, I was thinking there's a lots of things I can do. There's a lots of things I can do, and of course, having conversations around the dinner table will always be helpful.
Not everybody can do the same things. Mm. You know, there are some families who've got to drive their car to get to work or drop the kids off at school, and telling them they need to walk or take a bike is not really helpful because that's not something they can do.
Mm.
But there are other people who could go, you know, we could just walk down to the shop to get that. We don't have to drive the car down to do that.
Mm.
And every journey saved is making a contribution.
Yeah, exactly. So I know as a Member of Parliament that you had your first report out, you had a draft report out to government, and you extended consultation until the 28th. Is it the 28th of March?
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. So perhaps you can share with us what you found and why are you asking people for consultation for their input. Yeah.
So what we found is New Zealand has to do more than we're currently doing, both to meet our targets and play our part in helping the world be a safer place for our kids and grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to do more than we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the report says, look, here are some things we think that we could do more of, but if we get on and do them now, it won't be as disruptive as it will be if we wait and try and do a lot of it later.
Mm.
And a lot of that is trying to replace things as they wear out with better things for the 21st century.
Mm.
So nobody's running around scrapping your car.
Okay.
But what they're saying is, if your car now gets to the point where you need to replace it, to the best of your ability, you should replace it with something that has low or no emissions. Now, for some people, low emissions might be a better version of the internal combustion engine.
Mm.
But for other people, it might be a hybrid car that runs mainly on electricity but sometimes on petrol.
Mm.
Or it might be a pure EV that's, you know, plug in and power it up and off you go.
Mm.
And there isn't one size fits all. Some people who live in remote and rural areas or have special needs are going to be driving the car they're driving for another 15 years.
Mm.
But others can change early and they should. If you've got the opportunity when you're looking at putting in appliances in your house, look at heat pumps rather than natural gas burning fossil fuels based technologies. If you're involved in a workplace and they're thinking about how they can make a difference, you know, if you can reduce waste, that makes a better business and it also helps the planet.
Oh, definitely. So the Prime Minister talks about a carbon budget. What's that?
So it all started off in the early 1990s when the science got very, very clear that the atmosphere has a limited capacity to keep absorbing greenhouse gases without making the planet warmer and warmer and the climate quite different from what it is today.
Mm.
And they made a rough calculation about, you know, how much greenhouse gases rises the temperature by how much. And then they concluded that really, we have to reduce all of these greenhouse gas emissions to about net zero. In other words, we've got to have what goes out less what we take in through forests equal to zero by 2050, or we're really going to cook the place.
Mm.
And so the conclusion of that was to set these nationally determined contributions. What would each country who'd signed up to the agreement in 2015 do to play their part? And New Zealand signed up for a target, which is about a 30% reduction, about a one-third reduction, by 2030 on our 2005 levels. And then we had domestic targets that we set, which were to try and help us on that road by looking at our own internal action, what we could do ourselves to make that global contribution. And we're not on a path to achieve those, so we've now got a plan to try and do better. So emissions budgets are like, well, how much can we afford to emit and still be on a path to hit the target? So it's like, you know, the journey. What are the waypoints on your journey to make sure you're heading in the right direction? And at the moment, that's what these budgets are.
Oh, that's great. That's understandable how we're not on track, so we've actually got to do something about it. And you've extended how people can contribute in your consultation process until the 28th of March. What can you tell us about that process?
Yeah, so we put out the draft advice because we don't claim to know everything about everything, and a lot of people have lived experiences and evidence that we need to see, and they, once they see what our draft is, they say, oh, you got that bit wrong, or had you thought about that, or I really think you got that bit right, so, you know, yes, make sure you do that in your final report. And that's the submission process, which is underway at the moment. And you can pop on our website, and you can just dial up the Climate Change Commission, make sure you get the New Zealand one, not somebody else's. And you can find the way to make a submission. You can write a little submission. It doesn't have to be a big one. You can answer some questions if you don't quite know, you know, what we want to hear about. We've got some prompts. Or you can send us a book. You want to send us a book. And so the submission isn't in a particular format, although we've got some formats there to coach and guide people. And we've got already over 700 submissions that have come through our website. So the team are busily, you know, reading them and figuring out what people are drawing our attention to that we didn't get right or could do better. And that goes on till the 28th of March. And then the secretariat, the team at the commission get to gather all that together and summarise it, and then the board of the commission get to consider whether we should change the recommendations we've made. And then we have to get all that done and hand it over to the Minister for Climate Change by the 31st of May. And then the Minister has got the Parliament sitting on the 1st of June for the next 2 weeks. Sometime in that 2 weeks, I expect they want to table that advice in Parliament so everybody can see what we finally said. And then the government's got till the 31st of December this year to actually adopt emissions budgets and an emissions reduction plan. So at the end of the day, the commission gives advice, but our elected leaders make the choices.
Make the choices, but it's good that there is a commission and then you're providing independent advice. So who are you hearing from, Rod?
We're hearing from all over about two-thirds of the submissions so far have been from individuals, so people who have just wanted to have their say, draw our attention to things that we might not have got right. We expect the industry bodies, you know, like the Import Vehicle Importers Association, Federated Farmers and Business New Zealand, we think they'll make their submissions towards the closing day, doing a whole bunch of work. And we wouldn't be surprised if we get thousands of submissions by the time we're done. And as I say, some of them are just, you know, brief little paragraphs, and some of them are quite extensive evidence that people would like to know we'd seen and thought about.
And you know how now we've got social media and technology. Are you accepting video, audio submissions?
Anything that you can put in a digital format, so it might be text, or it might be a PowerPoint presentation, or it might be a reference to something else, you can link that in and send that to us if you'd like to. We've been getting around the country a bit, so in February I had 45 engagements with media and one-on-one meetings and peak body group meetings and communities. The team are out consulting with various iwi and Māori groups at the moment. We've tried to touch a bunch of disabled community leadership groups, young people. Over 2,000 people have participated in our webinar series where they've been able to hook up and listen to some of the more technical experts on things they wanted to know about. So it's been pretty extensive opportunity for people to learn and to contribute.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Rod. Have you heard much from the Pacific community? Because, you know, climate change is affecting the Pacific heavily, sea level rising and weather changes.
We've had a number of submissions out of individual Pacifica people. I haven't seen the entire list of submissions, but But you're absolutely right. The Pacific doesn't need to be convinced that the climate is changing. Mm. They live it every day, every month.
Mm.
The Pacific knows that they haven't contributed as much to the greenhouse gases as other countries have. And they know they can't do as much as some countries to reduce those gases that they do contribute.
Mm.
Until the world finds sustainable aviation fuels and new types of marine technology. You know, the reality is that to connect the islands to larger countries, ships and planes are needed. And we can do something to help decarbonize the islands with solar arrays and so forth. But, you know, the challenge for the islands is they're living with the consequences of decisions they didn't make.
Mm.
And New Zealand, I think, has a particular responsibility to acknowledge that and provide leadership. There are about 100 small countries in the world, like New Zealand, that in aggregate contribute about a third of all the greenhouse gas emissions. So while we might not be able to tell China or India or America what to do, we can provide a good example of how small countries have got to play their part.
Well, thank you, Rod. So we've had a really great conversation. I think you've covered a lot in the 15 minutes that we've had a conversation so far. I just probably want to start looking at, so we've talked about what we can do more. We're not talking about the farmers, but we're talking about ourselves, New Zealanders, individually to contribute to us achieving our carbon budget and, of course, the flow-on effect is that we reduce climate change. Greenhouse gas for the rest of the world. I'll bring you back to cars, because when we talk about transport, most people, that's really something that we can do.
Yeah.
So let's just say, asking for a friend, if they've got a diesel vehicle, what's the conversation about diesel versus petrol versus electric?
The first thing is that the way the Commission thought about this is we were to change what is brought into New Zealand first.
Mm.
So it's not so much focused on what's here already or what you own and operate today, but it says that we have to put standards on the motor vehicles that are new to New Zealand, whether they're second-hand or off the production line, so that we don't become a dumping ground for everybody else's, you know, old-tech, high-polluting vehicles. Even if they're cheap, they're nasty, so we don't want them. And we've suggested the government start by putting emission standards on the new to New Zealand fleets of vehicles. From, we're saying 2028, government's thinking a little sooner would be better, but that'll land somewhere.
Yeah.
And we set those standards so that the new to New Zealand fleet begins to be lower emission. It's not banning the import of internal combustion engine cars in the 2020s, but it is saying by the early 2030s, we think, except in exceptional cases where there isn't an alternative, we shouldn't be importing these fossil fuel-based internal combustion engine vehicles. So it's a phase out of new to New Zealand. And then at some point, probably in the 2040s or 50s, it might be necessary to say, you know, those really old, high-polluting vehicles, we should stop them too.
Time to go.
And as we say, you know, there are different technologies emerging for mobility. There are e-bikes, and there are e-scooters, and there's going to be small electric vehicles. The Chinese just announced they've got a two-door hatchback electric vehicle for $6,000 coming off the production line within the next year. So it's not always about a fancy Tesla with all that, you know, high price stuff. There will be a world in which we can buy a range of new electric vehicles and transport systems. We also think in some parts of New Zealand where it's appropriate, it'd be good to do a bit more walking and a bit more biking and have better public transport available, more frequent and cheaper. One of our recommendations is we think all public transport should be free for people under the age of 25. You know, we make public transport free for the elderly. Why don't we make it free for the young people so as they transition from not being in charge of a vehicle to being in charge of a vehicle, you know, I don't really need to own that car. I can take a bike and catch a bus.
Yeah.
But the bus needs to be affordable and it needs to be frequent and reliable. And so we think there is an advantage in some parts of New Zealand in building up public transport systems and encouraging and enabling people to use them.
That's a really good idea, because under 25s, they would be buying cheaper cars.
Correct.
Just because they
may find those cars get more expensive and therefore they want some options. And I think free public transport would be one way of supporting our young people.
That's really great in terms of future-proofing, but we're almost run out of time. So for the last 40 years, you've gone from Hamilton to all the way now that you're into Canterbury, Otago, and now you're chairing the Climate Change Commission. You have four children, and the best meal that you'd like to have is around the table with your family. What's your hope for the next 40 years, Rod?
I do think New Zealand has a really special opportunity to be a cleaner, greener, healthier, more sustainable, more resilient, less vulnerable society by 2050. I want to be around to see that, and I think it's our opportunity, and it would be a very disappointing outcome if we lost that opportunity because we weren't courageous enough or bold enough to support the kind of leadership that can deliver that for us.
That's wonderful. And last but not least, what would you say to people who are listening to our conversation and might think that their opinion doesn't matter really because someone else is going to make it for them?
Yeah, look, it does matter, and it matters because all of us are role models somewhere in the world. You know, we're role models to our kids or grandkids, we're role models to our friends and neighbours, but at the end of the day, I kind of phrase it this way. In 2050, when my grandchildren, three of them are alive today, ask me, so what did I do when I knew how much damage we were doing by burning fossil fuels in the open air? What did I do the day I knew that? I want to be able to say I did as much as I could to make it better.
And on that note, thank you for joining us. We have run out of time, but I no doubt we'd like to have you back to have another kōrero about the outcome of your consultation and what you're going to advice you're going to give the government.
Thank you for this opportunity, Anahiri.
And good luck to your information gathering and all your conversation out there with New Zealand and to your board and to the team. Have an awesome week.
Kia ora.
And welcome back, everybody. And we've heard from Rod, and now we're hearing from Carly Sue. So Carly Sue is a former Pukekohe High School student, and she is working in Wellington in the Climate Change Commission. And I would like to introduce you to Carly so she can tell us about what's happening at the Climate Change Commission. Carly, welcome to World with Anahila.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a senior analyst at the Commission. I work specifically on our emissions budget. That means understanding, I work on understanding what the impacts of our advice could mean on people, the economy, and the environment. And that's a big part of our advice is making sure that the government has an equitable transition strategy. So that means that making sure that the impacts of the policies that we put in place to address climate change are fair and help people transition to a low-emission society.
Oh, thank you, Carly. So how does someone from Pukekohe get to go all the way over there to and be part of a team who's informing the government really what to do about climate change?
Yeah, it's been a real honour to kind of work in this space. So I'm from Pukekohe originally, but I went to uni in Wellington and I've kind of studied in Wellington and have kind of worked my way into climate change. But it's been a real honour and privilege because the Commission's new. And so this is the first time we're doing something on climate change. And so it's really awesome to be a part of that journey. And it's really challenging, but I find it really rewarding.
And I hear from Rod that you're gathering, consulting around the country, talking to lots of people about their opinion. How do you think, how important is it to your work in gathering information to inform the decision makers of the country to get all voices heard?
It's absolutely critical, and I think that we want to hear from everyone, not just experts or from people who know a little bit about climate change. Everyone's voice matters in this, in climate change. And just because we don't, you may not know about it or you've heard a little bit about it on the news, I would encourage everyone to make a submission.
So how did you get to climate change?
I got into climate change from uni, actually, and I studied a little bit in my undergrad. I did an undergrad in public policy and economics, and I kind of, you know, heard a lot, read about it and was taught about it in class, and I was just so interested in it because it encapsulates so many different problems and so many different aspects. It's a scientific problem, but it's also an economic and social problem, and that's what really drew me to finding out more about it and wanting to work on it. And so from learning about it at university, I was able to kind of explore a bit of that a bit more and do an internship at the Ministry for Environment. And then I worked at the Ministry of Environment, and I also did my Master's overseas in Environmental Studies, where I also worked on climate change policies. But I've always just been driven because I think it's such an interesting problem that affects every single person in the world. And I feel like we have a real opportunity in New Zealand to be progressive and take action on it.
Oh, that's wonderful. You sound so young, but yet you travelled so far. Yeah, so let's just say if I'm a student at Pukekohe High School, or if I'm a student anywhere in South Auckland or New Zealand for that matter, and I'm thinking about putting in a submission, what would you say to them?
I would say I would welcome your submission, and I would say that it's really easy to do. You can go on our website, climatecommission.govt.nz, and depending on your level of how much time you have, you can make a 5-minute submission and just tell us one big thing. Or you can read a little bit more, and you can read about our 6 big themes, which are the pace of change, future generations, types of forest, emission reduction priorities, and technology and behaviour change. And you can make a submission that way. Or you could go into our more detailed questions and do a deep dive on our different sectors.
We're running out of time, but it is Well with Anahila, and you sound like you're really passionate, and for a senior analyst, it means you're doing a lot of reading and a lot of converting that material into advice. But what do you do for well-being? So, like, I sometimes go for a walk or listen to music. What do you do for well-being, Carly?
As you can imagine, it's quite hilly in Wellington, so the physical terrain keeps me fit. I like to go for lots of walks. And while the weather's really good, I like to go out and swim. I also like doing some yoga and spending time with friends and family. That keeps me healthy and happy.
Yeah, what's your favourite food? Because I ask Rod that.
What's my favourite food?
Yeah.
Well, that's a hard question, actually.
Yeah, well, he didn't. Oh, dumplings. Oh, yeah, delicious. He didn't actually say a food. He said it was just, sharing around with his family, anything with his family.
Oh, that's yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'm more specific.
No, that's good because you're an analyst. Yeah. But the reason why I asked that is because climate change is usually a big topic to talk about. But I would like to just inform people that you're a normal person, and Rod's a normal person, and we're all wanting the same thing, what's best for New Zealand and the world. And that's why we ask you, what you do for well-being, and what do you do to, what's your favourite food. But thank you for being with us today. If you had one thing to say to, if you had a minute and you had one thing to say to the listeners that we've got, what would that be?
Keep reading, keep informed, and go on our website and make a submission. We're really, really happy to get your feedback. And for all those students of Pukekohe, keep reading and dream big.
Oh, thank you, Carly. You have a great day, and do go for those walks, and congratulations on being part of the team that's going to inform what we're going to do for the future from the government. So thank you very much for that. Well, everybody, that was He Pou Ārangi. We had the chair, Dr. Rod Carr, and we had Carly Sue, who was an ex-student at Pukekohe, talk to us about the work of the Climate Change Commission. Do have a say. We've got until the 28th. The website is there. Have a go. I'll go in and have a look and make it simpler for my daughter to make a submission. So do have that. Enjoy your day. Keep well. And like we've heard from everybody else, doing something for your well-being doesn't mean you've got to go and pay a huge money to anybody. It's just as simple as sharing time with your family or going for a walk. That was Well with Anahila, a kōrero on Climate Change Commission, New Zealand. See you next time. Ka kite anō.